item, Carla, let's go to time certain item 120.
Amend Civil Rights Code to add non-religion, such as atheism, agnosticism, and non-belief, to the definition of religion.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very happy to bring forward this ordinance. Ever since I've been on the council, over 10 years now, I've held two half hours every week for what we call constituent spots, where anybody can come in and talk to me about anything. And sometimes my response is, well, that's really interesting, thank you for telling me. And sometimes it's, that's really interesting, and it would take my entire staff 20 years to get that done, but I appreciate knowing about this. Sometimes it's, well, actually, that's another council member's responsibility, so I'll put you in touch with them. And sometimes it's like, wow, I'm very interested in this. Let me see if I can do something about it. A couple of previous instances were when we did the conflict-free minerals resolution about using minerals in computers that are not procured in a horrendous way in Africa. And another one was the behavioral therapy for children experiencing autism, which eventually became a state law as well as a local one. And this is another one that came to me as a constituent, bringing it to my attention. And I had never thought about the challenge. And I thought, well, this sounds really interesting. And please go talk to the Human Rights Commission about it to see if they also share your concern. So that happened, and my staff worked with community members, and here we are today. We are asking Council to support amendments to our Civil Rights Code presented in Exhibit A. The most substantive change is the inclusion of non-religion, such as atheism, agnosticism, or lack of belief in God or gods, in the protected class of religion. While existing Oregon courts have recognized this, state law does not expressly prohibit discrimination based on non-religion. This leaves many of our community members vulnerable. This ordinance has been shepherded by my office and the City Attorney's Office in partnership with community advocates, some of whom are joining us today. Cynthia Castro, my policy advisor, and Kimberly McCullough, the policy director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon, will explain more.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. For the record, my name is Cynthia Castro. I'm a policy advisor for Commissioner Fritz. Prejudice towards the non-religious, especially atheists, has been well chronicled in numerous independent studies conducted over the years. For example, a Gallup poll administered during the 2012 election season found that only 54% of Americans would vote for a well-qualified atheist president, ranking them below other candidate categories like Muslims and gays. In a separate survey, about half of American respondents considered atheists a threat to them. Another study reported American beliefs that atheists should be denied the opportunity to teach in public schools or the right to hold a rally. Non-believers also face discrimination in the workplace when trying to volunteer, in securing housing, and other areas of life. In Oregon, no religious group comprises a greater share of residents than the religiously unaffiliated, which includes atheists, agnostics, and nothing in particular. Portland was once ranked the most non-religious major city in the country, followed by San Francisco and Seattle. Yet our city civil rights code and state law do not extend non-believers the same protections afforded to those who ascribe to different faiths. We appreciate Cheryl approaching Commissioner Fritz and Kimberly last year to propose addressing this issue. Our office worked with the City Attorney's Office, Cheryl, Kimberly, and the Human Rights Commission to draft the proposed code changes. We also consulted city equity managers and the Office of Equity and Human Rights. The most substantive change to the Civil Rights Code appears on page 2 of Exhibit A. It reads, in addition to any other definition provided by law, the term religion used herein expressly includes non-religion, such as atheism, agnosticism, and non-belief in God or gods, as has been recognized by the courts. Non-religion is included in the protections and statutes across the country that prohibit discrimination based on religion. If we were to create a separate protected class, it actually undermines the argument that non-religion is protected in all of the statutes that don't list non-religion separately. Discrimination based on religion is just that. Discrimination is motivated by views that relate to religion and religious views that include anti-religious views, views putting one religion above others, or views putting religion above non-belief. It doesn't mean that non-religion is a type of religion. Providing protections for non-religion aligns with our city's intent to remove discriminatory barriers to equal participation in employment, housing, and public accommodations in the city of Portland. As we were reviewing the Civil Rights Code, the City Attorney's Office found outdated Oregon Revised Statute citations. We are taking this opportunity to propose updating them. We are also interested in adding well-established exceptions that allow a church or religious institution some latitude in hiring decisions. ORS 659.0064 permits a church or other religious institution to hire based on religious preference when certain conditions are met. ORS 659A.0301 permits an employer to make hiring decisions based on protected status when they are based on bona fide occupational qualifications. City Equity Managers and Office of Equity and Human Rights staff also suggested revisions to language in Chapter 23 to be more inclusive, such as using gender-neutral pronouns. We recognize that other changes to Chapter 23 may be desired. To be clear, this project is not a comprehensive overhaul of the entire chapter. It addresses the issues that have been outlined. Now I'm going to turn it over to Kimberly.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and members of the Commission. My name is Kimberly McCullough. I'm here on behalf of the ACLU of Oregon. I'd like to start with some thank yous, first to Cheryl Colby and the Freedom From Religion Foundation for bringing this idea to us, to Commissioner Fritz and her staff, and in particular, Cynthia Castro, for helping hearing us and helping us with many rounds of edits. This was actually a bit of a complicated project, and I'm so glad that we had the collaboration, and also the city attorney, I think, provided a lot of really great information. I also want to thank the Human Rights Commission for hearing us, for asking really great questions. We had wonderful dialogue with them and appreciate their support. So to the ordinance, our organization has a long history of advocacy for religious freedom and separation of church and state. We believe that all people, regardless of what they believe or what they don't believe, deserve equal access to education, housing, employment, and public accommodations. We also believe that all people, regardless of what they believe or don't believe, deserve to live in our communities with protections from discrimination. And we have fought in the courts to ensure those protections, and we have also argued that our protections against discrimination based on religion do include protections for atheists, agnostics, and non-believers, and fortunately, most courts have agreed with us. But we do think that clarity in the law is crucial for the public to understand their rights and to understand that there are mechanisms for them to be able to advocate for themselves when they face discrimination. So we appreciate this ordinance so much and the way that it provides that clarity to the people of Oregon. Now, when we've had some discussions about this, the question has come up about, does this kind of discrimination happen? And in fact, yes, it does. And I think that Cynthia Castro explained to you some of those, some examples of that. We also actually had a fairly prominent case here in the state of Oregon that the ACLU of Oregon filed an amicus brief in, a friend of the court brief, that went up to the Oregon State Supreme Court. And in that case, what happened, there was an employer that owned a painting business. His employee was a painter. And as soon as the employee took the job, he faced what he felt was pretty intense religious discrimination based on the fact that he was non-religious. Now, his employer was an evangelical Christian and felt that he should be evangelizing to everyone, including his employees. He repeatedly over and over and over again told his employee that he needed to go to his church. He even went so far as to call him at home during his off hours to try to get him to go to his church. He started telling him that he was going to go to hell, that he was a sinner, that he could not do his job properly unless he was Christian and went to his church. He even reached out to this person's loved ones and his fiance to tell them the same things. And so this person, in the power dynamic they were, and as an employee, felt really uncomfortable and felt very harassed. They actually went to our Bureau of Labor and Industries, who decided to advocate for them. When this case went to the Supreme Court, our Supreme Court did say that our state-level protections that protect against discrimination based on religion do extend those protections to an atheist in a circumstance like this. And that was basically what we argued in that case. I think that it's just very important that people understand that and that people of Portland do understand that. So that's why we just really love this clarity in the law. Our national organization and our other affiliates have been engaged in litigation similar to this many other places, and so there are other examples, but I won't go through them today. So we really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. Glad that this ordinance is here, and hope that you will pass it. So thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Isn't something I would have thought about, that people would be discriminated against, but I appreciate the story, Kimberly, and my condolences on your grandmother. I'm glad you're back and look forward to you this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
At this time, I would like to invite Cheryl Colby, president of the Freedom From Religion Portland chapter, as well as Dr. Crystal Lee Crane and Michelle Wilson from the Human Rights Commission. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm up, I think. My name is Cheryl Colby, president of the and founder of the Portland area chapter of Freedom From Religion Foundation, and I am a director on their national board as well. FFRF is a nonprofit organization of nonbelievers that works to protect the constitutional principle of separation of state and church and to educate the public on matters of non-theism. It has more than 31,000 members, and in Oregon there are over 1,000 members, including many who would live or work in Portland. I am like you in many respects. I value freedom and my family. I believe in compassion, public service, kindness, and consideration of all. I believe all communities should be welcoming to all people. I differ from many in that I simply lack a belief in a god or gods. What I don't believe in is that this one factor, being a non-believer, is justification for discrimination. The ordinance before you would protect all non-believers in the city of Portland. At present, neither the city nor the state expressly prohibits discrimination based on non-belief, leaving it open to the courts to interpret whether we are protected or not. Even though existing courts, Oregon courts, have thus far interpreted that non-belief is included, there are, in fact, courts across the country that have made the other decision, that have concluded that we are not protected. In the real world, opinions change, judges are replaced. This should not be left to the interpretation of the courts. I wish to be very clear. This is not a question about which is right or better, religion or non-religion. It is about protection against discrimination. We are not asking for any special privileges or rights. We are merely asking for the same protection against discrimination in housing, employment, and accommodations that are afforded to those in religion. Now, I own my own home, well, the bank does, am retired, and am fortunate to not need any accommodations. So why am I passionate about this? For me, this change is a validation that I am a human being of the same value to society as my fellow Portland community members. It says, my city values me and affirms that it is unacceptable for others to discriminate against me and others like me. Validation matters to me. What does it mean to others? It means that they would have the backing of the law. They will know their rights. Legally, they cannot be rejected for a job, fired, or treated any differently than other employees solely based on their non-belief. Their rental application or request for accommodations can't be rejected simply because they are irreligious. As a non-believer, I'm not alone. According to a 2015 study, Portland is the most religiously unaffiliated metro area in the nation. This will positively impact many people in Portland. This change is supported by Freedom From Religion Foundation, Humanists of Greater Portland, Secular Coalition for Oregon, Center for Inquiry for both Portland and Southeast Portland, and Protect Our Children. This action will show Portland as a leader. To the best of my knowledge, Portland would be the second city in the country to make this kind of change. In case you were wondering, the first city is Madison, Wisconsin, the home of the of FFRF, the national headquarters. This change says that Portland chooses to make certain that non-believers receive the same protection from discrimination as those in any form of religion. This is very affirming for those of us who are atheist, agnostic, or any other form of non-belief. It is the right thing to do. I wish to express my deep appreciation to all who have been involved in this project. Kimberly from the ACLU for partnering with SFRF, Amanda Fritz for taking this issue up and being willing to, and your staff who have worked to help with this issue, and the excellent work done by the Human Rights Commission. It was a team effort. And I thank the City Council for taking time today to talk about this issue.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
For the record, my name is Michelle Wilson, and I'm a human rights commissioner for the city of Portland, and I'm joined by Dr. Crystal Lee Crane, who is also a human rights commissioner. Thank you for affording us this opportunity to join the discussion. We'll share a little bit of the highlights of the Human Rights Commission's engagement with this issue and our recommendation to vote in favor of the non-belief ordinance. When Cheryl first provided public comment at the Human Rights Commission's February 8, 2018 meeting, she shared that as of 2015, Portland is the most religiously unaffiliated metro area in the nation, again with 42% self-identifying as such. This was according to the Public Religion Research Institute. As the founder and president of and on behalf of the Portland chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Cheryl asked the Human Rights Commission to support the organization's request to City Council to change Portland's definition of religion to explicitly include non-belief as a protected class. The Human Rights Commission took notice. We at once realized that her request had immediate and important implications for Portland. We understood that this was about individuals, but also families, neighborhoods, and in many ways, a fundamental part of the city's identity.
And again, for the record, my name is Dr. Crystal Lee Crane. Thank you. Our process was and is straightforward, yet as we all know, disrupting oppressive forces requires deliberate, meaningful, and often challenging efforts. We deliberately, as a full body, over a course of a few months in early 2018 and in conclusion with the calendar year, took up this issue and did our own research. Through due diligence and reaching out to our local, statewide, and even national networks, commissioners were able to get some of the questions answered that we had. In particular, Commissioner Perry reached out to a former colleague in Maryland who's experienced within local government and particularly the protected class codes and statutes, provided us with a valuable insight, especially when framing our approach to policy language. Internally, most of the commissioners were immediately on board, with a few hesitated, requesting more time to complete additional research and more information from the primary stakeholders, like the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They initially believed that the city's current definition of religion and religious affiliation may already imply non-belief, but as I think we've heard today, that may not always be the case. As a body, we reflected on the ways in which just about all of our current social institutions are framed by one belief system or another, and how these increases the vulnerability of people who have no religious affiliation to be excluded, shamed, and exploited. Our conversations were robust and included data-driven reports and first accounts of prejudice and discrimination that people who identify as having non-religious belief experience in the workplace, socially when accessing care, in their ability to secure housing, to access various public services, and in generally participating in our culture that is entrenched with religious beliefs and affiliation. There have also been little to no representation in government for people with non-religious beliefs. The Pew Research Center's 2017 survey found that Americans generally express more positive feelings toward various religious groups today than they did just a few years ago. And this doesn't continue to, you know, apply to folks in the Muslim belief or folks who identify as atheists. So we felt as a commission that we wanted to engage in self-reflection, research, and be able to come back and support the community in trying to find a resolution to this issue.
Quickly, at least in government time, the Human Rights Commission resolved to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. With one abstention and no commissioners opposing, on March 8, 2018, the motion passed to update the city's definition of religion to include atheism, agnosticism, and non-belief in order to protect against discrimination. I, along with former Commissioner Malone, met with Commissioner Fritz to discuss the Freedom From Religion Foundation's request. We informed her that the Human Rights Commission did vote in favor of supporting the change to city code. Commissioner Fritz advised us that the next step would be to include her fellow council commissioners and Mayor Wheeler in the conversation, and we did. We are here today because the Freedom From Religion Foundation, especially Cheryl, called upon the Human Rights Commission to stand up for what is right. Our official recommendation to council is to vote in favor of the non-belief ordinance, effectively changing Portland City Code Chapter 23.1. the brief but nonetheless real buy-in issue that we faced within the commission illustrates that regardless of our expertise and intentional commitment to protecting human rights, we too fall prey to value-based privilege. We simply don't know what we don't know. Our collective understanding required a bit of work and a willingness to hear from community members in open and validating ways. I mention this to illustrate an important point. We believe that this outcome is a beautiful example of government working as it should, with and for communities we serve. Our collaboration with Cheryl and the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon, especially Kimberly, Portland City Council members and their support staff, especially Commissioner Fritz and her policy advisor, Cynthia Castro, various community stakeholders, city attorneys and legal advisors, the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and even a representative from the state of Maryland, is illustrative of how impactful, diligent, and respectful cooperation can and should be.
I also would like to conclude by saying that I feel like this process is emblematic of the way that the Human Rights Commission can be informative to the policies that the city puts forth. Our hope is that we are always aiming to be more inclusive, community-driven, and wanting to focus our changes in the city to not be based on one group's oppression, but how we can look at it from a perspective of collective liberation. So thank you for having us be a part of this process.
Thank you.
That concludes our presentation, Mayor.
Very
good. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for being here. Public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have four people signed up.
Very good.
The first three are Maggie, Robert Ogunhobbaugh, maybe, sorry, and David Gray.
Very good.
Go ahead, Maggie.
Hi. As a friend to the Church of the Triumphant Agnostic, whose motto is, "We don't know and we don't care," I'm very happy to have this resolution to acknowledge non-belief as a legitimate value system in Portland by the Human Rights Commission. Having said that, I would like to say that the Human Rights Commission and the city attorneys are dragging their feet on realizing that homeless people are a protected class.
Maggie, this is not about that. Again, and I ask you this every week, and I ask you very nicely.
It is on topic. It pains me that the Human Rights Commission isn't recognizing homeless people as human beings before the law. It pains me.
Do you support this ordinance or do you not support this ordinance?
Yes, I support it. And I would support, homelessness as a protected class as well. Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Robert Ogunbaugh. I'm the president of Protect Our Children. Do atheists and non-believers need protection from discrimination? Please consider this. One recent poll found that 50% of Americans would not vote for a qualified atheist for president. A 2006 study found that 48% of respondents would not want their child to marry an atheist. In both studies, percentages of disapproval of atheists were above those of Muslims, African Americans, and LGBTQ individuals. Many of the respondents associated atheism with immorality, including criminal behavior. The Boy Scouts, who finally allow gays, still don't allow atheists. A University of British Columbia study found that believers distrust atheists as much as they distrust rapists. The study also found that atheists have lower employment prospects. Atheism and lack of regular church attendance have been used by courts to deny custody to non-religious parents. The Constitution of seven U.S. states still bans atheists from holding public office. So discrimination against atheists and non-believers certainly exists. I think in Portland, we all agree that people should not be discriminated against based on their religious beliefs. And I think most of us agree that people should not be discriminated against based on non-religion. I don't think we want to leave this decision up to individual judges. And I think we do want to make it clear to those involved in housing, employment, and public accommodation that discrimination against non-believers is unacceptable. The city code is not completely clear on this point, and that's why this simple change is needed. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
My name is David Gray. I don't have a prepared written statement. This will be very, very brief. I came here mainly to support Cheryl, who's a friend, and I'm also a member of FFRF and a member of the Humanists of Greater Portland, the local chapter of the American Humanist Association. I just want to say something about attitudes of most of us secular people. None of us, as far as I know, have a goal of banishing religion or disparaging those who follow religions. Not going to happen. And I have come to realize, I do consider myself an atheist, but I have come to realize over the last 5 or 6 years that there is a very wide spectrum of people who follow a faith. And I learned those lessons from my participation in an organization called the Interfaith Council of Greater Portland. So obviously they are tolerant and accepting of different beliefs, or they wouldn't allow me to be in the Interfaith Council. It's a very good group of people. We have a Mormon lady, a Muslim lady, people who go to various Christian churches. And I have learned that religious people can be very, very good, compassionate, kind, generous people. Yes, are there intolerant atheists? I have to admit, yes, there are intolerant atheists who do tend to disparage people of faith because how can they believe that stuff? But I think that's a very small minority of us secular people. Religion is here to stay, and so is secular thinking, based on, in principle, based on rational thinking and science. That's all I had to say.
I didn't Thank use you. Up my time, so next I would like people, to say
please. Your
you
time
can
is
find
up, Maggie. Next three people, please.
The next last person who signed up is Dustin Hocklin.
Right there.
Come on down. We'll wait for you. He's upstairs in the balcony. So, Carla, while we have a brief break here, I notice you have a new person working with you. Why don't you...
Thank you.
Introduce
yes, Mayor
her.
And Council, this is Keelan McClymont. She is the new Assistant Council Clerk.
Welcome.
It's great to have you here. Thank you.
Well, you're learning from the best.
We'll see.
Okay. So, Matt, this is a non-emergency ordinance. I'd like to make a brief statement at the end.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah. There he is. Thank you for being here.
My name is Dustin Hoakland. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I don't have a whole lot to add that the very intelligent ladies before me are very well prepared. I just want to go on record to say I support the non-belief ordinance. Just make sure I get it on the public record and say it out loud. Atheism and non-belief is just merely the not the belief in a deity, just as simple as that for most people. I did want to note that there is another group, firebrand atheists, anti-theists, and atheist activists that are a little more outspoken than maybe a traditional, just basic non-believer. I'd probably fall in that category. I do worry about participating in rallies or speaking my thoughts publicly for fear of losing my job or affecting my employment. So with that said, I would just want to say I really would like to see this ordinance passed so I can exercise my rights to freedom of speech and participate in rallies and things along those lines. Thank you all very much. I really do appreciate your time, and I hope we get this done. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you. So we've asked for the vote to be delayed until February 27th. I'm going to be out of town next week, and really appreciate Mayor Wheeler being willing to do that, even though he won't be here on the 27th. So I just, did any of my colleagues want to make comments while our guests are here?
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. I just want to appreciate your leadership, Commissioner Fritz, in bringing this ordinance forward. And I don't see any problem with supporting it at all. I mean, we want to be a place of choice for employment at the City of Portland. And we want to make sure that people know that whatever their belief system, they will not face discrimination. So I don't see any problem.
I'll just add that I look forward to supporting this ordinance when it comes back. I also want to acknowledge that we had two members of the Human Rights Commission today that came and testified and shared with us the process they went through to engage this issue and their deliberations. And I hope that this becomes the norm and not the exception, that we hear directly from commissioners on these issues. I think it adds a lot to our debate and discussion. It has not always been the case, but those were superb presentations. And if we're going to have a commission that's charged with providing us guidance, we should hear from them from time to time on these important issues. So I appreciate that two commissioners took the time to share their perspective with us.
Yeah, and I'd like to share that sentiment as well. And Kimberly, since you're here and we're in agreement on this issue, I want to acknowledge that because I might not agree with you later this afternoon on a completely separate issue. But as I dug into this, I have come to the definite conclusion that this particular ordinance does not change any law or rights insofar as anything different than that is already acknowledged by the courts here in the state of Oregon and has been acknowledged by the courts in the state of Oregon. But I am persuaded that our ordinances are not clear on the point. And to the degree that we support a particular right, to the degree that we support a particular law, I think it is incumbent upon us to be crystal clear about those rights when it comes to our ordinances. So I view this as a long-needed technical cleanup of our ordinance. And were I to be here on February 27th, I would support it for that reason.
Thank you. Thank you, colleagues. This does my activist heart good. And this is, as was said, government responding to community members and partnering with community members. So thank you, Cheryl Colby, for bringing this to my attention and then to the Human Rights Commission's attention. Something that you said struck me in particular. This is not about who is right. It's about being welcoming. It's about being inclusive. It's about nobody worrying about discrimination. So whatever anybody's beliefs, it's not about who's right. It's about being welcoming. Thank you, Kimberly McCullough from the ACLU, for being a wonderful resource for us, as usual. Thank you, Commissioner Dr. Crane and Commissioner Wilson, for testifying. The entire Human Rights Commission, including and also the Office of Equity and Human Rights Liaison, Tatiana Alihalde, Dr. Markeisha Smith, who's here on her second day as being in charge of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, welcome, along with Dr. Kofi Dasu, who has been ably filling that role for the last year. Thanks to the City Attorney's Office, particularly Judy Prosper, Molly Gardner, Laurie Kraut, and Tracy Reeve. And I do also want to acknowledge my former staffer, Goldan Salazar, who worked with Claire Adamsick in my office, and now Cynthia Castro for carrying the baton over the finishing line. I also want to acknowledge Philip Wolf, who is here with us. And I particularly mentioned that there are other things in Chapter 23 that need to be addressed, in particular the captioning ordinance, which Mr. Wolf, as a commissioner on disability, was instrumental in bringing to the council's attention a few years ago and has made us aware of some changes needing there. So we're not done on Chapter 23, but this is certainly a very positive step forward, and thank you very much, everybody, for your work on it.
Very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading on February 27th, 2019.